Joining us now to get into all of it is our Steelers insider, our friend, Ray Fittipaldo. And Ray Fittipaldo is brought to you by AV-rated super lawyers of LGKG, Luxembourg, Garbett, Kelly, and George. Good morning to you, Ray. How we doing, buddy?
Good morning, Adam. Happy New Year. I don't know if I'm still allowed to say that, but Happy New Year.
We haven't talked in the New Year, so I think it's allowed. I appreciate you wishing me a Happy New Year, and same to you, buddy. Steelers, Texans. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, listen, it's going to be a raucous atmosphere Monday night in Pittsburgh. You know, the last couple of times the Steelers have had home playoff games, the most recent one was the COVID year, no fans in the stands, and then 2017, the early exit. I think there's a lot more optimism going into this game than I think any of those other recent home playoff games.
I want to get into the Tomlin Harbaugh situation, and we will, but let's stick with that. What gives you, someone who's around this team every single day, optimism that they could beat the Texans on Monday night?
Yeah, I mean, I was doing some research on this on the last day or so, but it's their ability to overcome slow starts with strong finishes. They are one of the best fourth quarter football teams in the NFL, fourth quarter offenses. They're averaging almost 8 points per game in the fourth quarter. That's much better than they do in any other quarter this season. And just look at their you know, winning streak to get into the playoffs. That four wins in the final five-game stretch, huge fourth quarters in a lot of those victories. So I think there's that Aaron Rodgers intangible quality that makes them really good in those situations. But I think in listening to Mike Tomlin yesterday as well, just he's kind of fostering that belief in all of his players to come through in this situation. And even though the defense doesn't have the numbers that the offense does in the fourth quarter, just look at the Lions game, you know, being able to stand up in that situation. It really has been a full team effort to win those close games in the fourth quarter.
That's one of the things we've spent a decent amount of time talking about today is the poor starts the Steelers have had in the playoffs. Ray, I mean, they've been outscored 76-0 in the first quarter of their last six playoff games. And shoot, the last two games that they've played, they were down 10-0 to the Browns and 10-0 to the Ravens. But that's a good that's a good punchback from you. In the third quarter in particular, of late, I think last four games, what, have they given up 8 yards combined or something crazy like that?
Yeah, the defense has been really good, and they've just been tripped up by some situations. You know, Lamar Jackson got them a couple of times on Monday night. You know, Adam, it was interesting listening to Tomlin yesterday. You don't usually hear him do this, but he kind of put some of that, the big plays on the play calling, and whether that was Mike himself or whether that was Terrell Austin, I thought that was one of the more interesting things to come out of his news conference. So, you know, they'll have that to deal with against the Texans. I don't know that C.J. Stroud presents the problems that Lamar Jackson does, but I think to Tomlin's point, you know, it's not only the players, but it's the coaches who have to be really good in these situations too. So interesting that he said that, but I'm not sure how that is going to play into the game against the Texans. I think that was more of a Ravens issue than an overall issue.
Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. I agree with you. The Texans' ninth worst explosive play rate in the NFL, 10th worst yards per play on average. Meanwhile, the Ravens 6th and 7th in those categories, respectively. Also, Ray, this is the healthiest the Steelers are going into a playoff game since ...
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to go back and look at you know, some of the other seasons. But other than Darnell Washington and Deshaun Elliott, we should mention Deshaun Elliott because he was a really big piece of that defense early in the season. But nice little stroke of luck that they're getting all these guys back when it counts the most, T.J. Watt most notably. I thought T.J. was excellent.
Me too.
In that game. I mean, he played 84% of the snaps. And I know the Ravens only had like 51 snaps, but like Nick Herbig only played like 20% of the snaps. Jack Sawyer barely played at all because Highsmith and Watt were playing at such a high level. And I don't think you can underestimate the health of a football team going into the postseason. You know, the Patriots are really banged up now. Other teams have other issues, and the Steelers seem to be getting right at the right time. So, you know, we'll see if it matters, but that's certainly a good positive going into the Texans game.
Ray Fittipaldi with the Post-Gazette joining us on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Ray, is it fair to say that this defensive line for the Texans against the Steelers' offensive line is actually a strength v. strength?
I don't know if I would go that far, but the Steelers' young offensive line is growing up before our eyes.
Yes, it is.
This is probably their toughest test of the season. I know you've probably seen it, but the Zach Frazier clip on
It's on loop in the bedroom when my wife and I are making love, Ray.
I had a feeling you would say something like that. he's been really good. Fautanu has been really good all season. Seumalo's back now, another injured guy that we didn't mention. It's still a young line, and they've never been in this situation. The Texans are, I don't want to say they're a proven playoff team, but they got experience in the playoffs the last few years. All these guys have been in playoff games. So I would probably give the edge to the Texans defensive front in this game.
Sure.
They're very talented, but we might see the Steelers step up and maybe surprise some people with how good that young offensive line is on Monday night.
Ray Fittipaldi from the Post-Gazette joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. Ray, we'll get back into the game in a minute, but if Tyler Loop makes that field goal, is Harbaugh still a Raven and Tomlin's out?
No. I mean, that's what's so frustrating about that situation if you're John Harbaugh. I mean, one kick, a 44-yard kick, and I think, Adam, I don't know, 75% of the coaches in the NFL would have laid up there and knelt in that situation. I don't know how many coaches. There might be a few aggressive coaches who try to get an extra 10 yards there, but when you do that, you're putting the ball in play. I mean, it could be a fumble.
Well, and
it could
be a pick. Derrick Henry's done that this year. He's uncharacteristically fumbled the football.
Yeah, so I don't blame Harbaugh for that game. I know there are other issues that have surfaced down there, but, I mean, like Tomlin would have been if that happened to Tomlin. Harbaugh is going to step into a great situation. He could sit back and cherry pick the very best roster in the NFL. He's going to be able to choose where he wants to coach next. It's just it's an interesting situation and how that unfolded. And what did Tomlin say after the game? That, you know, his comment that went viral. So I guess that's the way it goes sometimes.
Yeah, no one had Tomlin talking about man parts on his bingo card. It would have made more sense coming from me. Ray Fittipaldi of the Post-Gazette joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. A couple more questions on that subject, then we'll get back to the game proper. If the Steelers were to get blown out, and I don't expect it, but that's all we've kind of known the last 8 years in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Do you think that they might move off of Tomlin or that he might step aside? Because that was all the hot national reporting going into the game, was that Tomlin might want to go do TV or something like that.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get fired. So it would definitely have to be Mike's decision. And I guess that would depend on how the game unfolded or really what Mike was thinking, you know, before any of this stuff happened with the Ravens game and how they got into the playoffs. So strictly a Mike Tomlin decision, I think if he wants to step aside and do something else, that would be his decision. But I don't think that would be coming from the Steelers ownership group.
Who do you think would be a good fit for the Ravens while we're on the subject?
Man, somebody who knows how to deal with, I know Lamar's like an 8-year vet now, but a college quarterback, like a guy who they can get the most out of that skill set. And it's hard now because he's been injured the last couple of seasons. And, you know, do you really want to build your offense around that? Can you depend on him to stay healthy? So that's a tricky situation, but I'd definitely get an offensive guy. You obviously have to rebuild that defense because the defense stinks, but I think you need an offensive mind to get the most out of Lamar Jackson. I don't think Lamar, I'm sure you saw his comments after the game. I think Lamar played a big part.
Absolutely.
In Harbaugh getting fired. So I'm sure that's a big part of it.
Cliff Kingsbury's been rumored, but like Diana Rossini and others, to maybe be a fit. I think that guy's a terrible head coach. I would actually hire Stefanski if I were them, but that would be too smart, and hopefully they're not listening. All right, Ray, back to the Steelers. Are you worried about Boswell at all? I know the NFL credited that as a block. I've watched it a million times. I mean, who am I to doubt the NFL statisticians? But he missed one in Detroit, the Cleveland issue. So I'm a little bit concerned, even though he banged a 57-yarder.
I'm definitely worried about him.
Okay.
He usually doesn't find himself in these situations. And, I think on Ben's podcast, Ben mentioned that he's – I don't know if he called him or texted him, but he's offered him some words of encouragement. So it's not just us watching who kind of see that something is off there with him. So it's not a great thing going into the playoffs, Adam.
No, I mean, it is not.
This guy's been so good for so long. I mean, it would be such a kick in the gut if it came down to Boswell and Boswell wasn't that guy when he's been so good for so long when they haven't been able to win in the playoffs. I mean, it would just be the ultimate irony. So I don't know if Danny Smith can fix something like this. Most of the time, these kickers are just left to their own devices. But hopefully, he can figure out what's going on, because it's been like a 3-week pattern here.
Goalies in hockey, kickers in football, relievers in baseball. I feel like the only people who can fix them is themselves and some sports psychology. Last couple of things for you, Ray. DK Metcalf, I know, spoke the other day. Couldn't say much, probably for legal reasons, about what happened with that blue-haired jackass in Detroit. Do you get the sense that he is pissed off for a little bit of greatness here? Because DK's playoff numbers are outstanding. Yeah. 5 touchdowns in 4 games and 113 receiving yards a game.
Yeah, and I do get that sense. He kind of was cutting people off when we were asking those follow-up questions, and he kind of tired of it. And I think just reading between the lines, he said he was surprised that it wasn't reduced to 1 game. So, yeah, I think he's going to go in with a little bit of an edge here. And, I mean, what better stage to go out and have a big game and kind of throw it back in the face of Roger Goodell and whoever else in New York made that decision or decisions with the appeal to keep him out of those final 2 games. So, yeah, I think we're going to see a motivated DK Metcalf, but more importantly, his presence just lets everything fall back into place for the rest of that receiving core. They don't have to step up and play different roles that they're not accustomed to.
Ray, is it as simple as for the Steelers offense, get the ball out of Rodgers' hand quick, try to run the ball, and any kick is a good kick, and you kind of try to win the war of attrition?
Yeah, because they're going to approach the game the same way. They're not going to be afraid to punt. They're not going to be afraid to settle for field goals, because that's how their team is built. Their team is built much in the same way that Tomlin has wanted to build his teams, but that didn't come to pass this year because his defense was didn't play up to those standards. So, yeah, I definitely could see a low scoring game here, kind of a field goal fest, and kind of one of those deals, you win it in the fourth quarter, get it close, and try to win it in the fourth. So if we get the fireworks that we did against the Ravens, that's great. But I think this one's going to be another slugfest.
Ray, you're going to like this text. Adam walks into his bedroom. A steak covered in ketchup sizzles on a dinner plate. Wife in only a West Virginia jersey picks up the remote and whispers, "Zach Frazier pull block against Ravens on YouTube" in a sexy Yinzer accent.
With Ray. John Denver playing in the background.
That's only when we're done. Ray, thank you for the time. As always, great stuff. And hopefully we're previewing another game. And it's probably – is it too early for you to make your prediction? I feel like I don't want to put you on the spot.
I'll save that for Pony tomorrow. Yeah, a little bit too early.
Very good. All right, Ray. Thanks, buddy.
All right. See you, Adam.
He's the man. Ray Fittipaldi of the Post-Gazette.